Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, I want to talk to Harriet Walter, Dame Harriet Walter, that is, in fact. For over 40 years, she's been a stalwart of stage and screen, appearing in a range of movies, for instance, like Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Denial, Atonement, The Sense of an Ending, Rocket Man, etc. Her recent TV roles include The Crown, where she played the role of Clementine Churchill, wife of Winston Churchill, and in Downton Abbey as Lady Shackleton. She's also appeared in Succession, where she played the cold, acerbic mother of Shiv, Roman and Kendall, and ex-wife of patriarch Logan Roy. She's also appeared, of course, in Killing Eve, as assassin trainer Dasha, and there's loads more besides. But her latest work is a new movie called Herself, co-written by Irish screenwriter Claire Dunne, who was named as one of Variety's top 10 screenwriters to watch. Herself tells the story of a young single mother, played by Claire Dunne, who is trying to make a better life for her kids and is helped by Harriet's character called Peggy. So I'm going to talk to Harriet now. Harriet, as I just said there, you know, the movie Herself is about a young woman, Sandra, who's trying to do her best for her kids, and you play the role of Peggy in this movie. Just tell me, who is Peggy and what does she do for Sandra?
Right, so Peggy is a doctor. She's a field doctor in Africa normally. She goes out and helps other people help themselves. That's her role. She's had children, but she has had to return to Dublin because she broke her hip. And so she's come back for the medical advantages of Dublin, and she's back in her old home. And Sandra's mother used to clean for her. So Sandra's mother's recently died, and Sandra's taken that job on herself. So she comes to clean for this lady who's broken her hip and helps her sort of move around the house and get things together. And Peggy seems quite grumpy because she's fed up being in the situation she's in, but sees in Sandra someone she can help when she's in her time of need. So she, I don't want to give the plot away, yeah, but she helps her out in a major way and supports her, and it benefits her, Peggy, as well, to be of use to somebody.
And Herself is co-written by the Irish screenwriter Claire Dunne, who also plays the lead role of the single mother Sandra. As I say, how did you get involved in the film?
Well, I'd worked with Claire and the director Phila Deloyd on stage. We'd done something like 5 years. Over the last 5 years, we had done a trilogy of Shakespeare plays, with all the parts being played by women. And it was set in a female prison, and it was an amazing adventure. And Claire had played not only my wife when I played Brutus and she played Portia in Julius Caesar, she'd played my son, Prince Hal, when I was playing Henry IV. So we'd had a bit of an adventure with a few relationships, unusual relationships. And she was staying in my house for some of the time when she was in London working. And Phila Deloyd, she decided to show Phila this screenplay that she'd written. And Phila, she at first showed it to her just for advice, but Phila said, listen, I love this and I'd like to direct it. And everything went from there. And then they offered me a role in it. So I came into the screenplay quite late. I didn't even know there was a part for me.
Funny, might you have been disappointed working so closely with these people? I mean, she was living in your house, if you hadn't been offered a role.
Well, actually, you know, that's life as an actor. You know that. You know, you work with people who say, oh, I love your work. I'd love to work with you, but there just simply isn't a role for you. And, you know, why would I expect there was a role for me in a play about a young Dublin homeless woman, you know?
No, fair enough. But I mean, like the character of Peggy, I mean, like, you know, when you see the movie, you know, everybody's rooting for Peggy as much as they are for Sandra in so many ways. So what was it about the role, do you think, that appealed to you?
I very much feel that the older woman gets a bit of short shrift in dramas. She's usually hardened into her role, either hardened into being hard or hardened into being soft and cuddly. And those are the kind of two extreme versions of grannies. And in my experience, we're still 360 degree rounded characters, and we're unpredictable, and we're just like we were when we were young, only a bit stiffer. And so I like the fact that, you know, it broke open the slight stereotype of a grumpy old lady, and we start to see her as somebody with a past and a history and some compassion, and we start to see that she might have been in some ways in the same sort of position as as Sandra in her
roots. Yeah, and like a past and history, and now being given an opportunity to help and really wanting to help as well. Because if you take you on one side, your character in this, on the other side, there's Sandra going to get a bank loan or whatever it is from the council or whatever, and she wants help. And the person behind the desk is so stymied by the kind of, I don't know, civil service way or the just, you know, there's a red tape everywhere. She just can't help. And you can see you're the exact opposite. You are in a position to help, so you do.
That's a great way of putting it. Yes, I think, you know, we're made to feel so helpless most of the time, and it's bad for our souls. I think it's causing a lot of the mental illness and anguish that we have, because we're not designed to just be passively dependent on big systems and bureaucracies. We're designed to look after our tribe and our clan and our family and our neighbors. That's how the human race has survived. And so when Claire's character Sandra goes to these institutions for help, you feel you want to throw things at these people behind the desk, but at the same time you feel probably they go home and feel terrible that their job is always to block things and always to stop people getting what they want. It must be very bad for their souls, but I'm not going to waste a lot of compassion on them.
No, but we do get the point that, like, you know, like they might actually want to help, but I mean, the bureaucracy makes sure that they never will or never can, and the behind a desk life really doesn't do you a lot of good a lot of the time, and that's really what it is there. But I mean, as you say, the film is directed by Phyllis Deloyd, who directed like Mamma Mia and The Iron Lady, etc., and she's also directed a number of theatre plays. You worked with her, as you say, in the past in your very distinguished theatre career. I presume even working with Phyllida must have been sort of something that said to yourself, this is a factor I'm going to decide to take this role.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you it's very hard. In the theatre, you tend to get to know people and you live through them for a long time. In films, it's kind of a little bit random. You get people you've never heard of, or you don't know someone else who's worked with them. It's such a big, big pool. So of course you take risks all the time as to, you know, will this film be any good? You know, if I go with this person I don't know anything about. And with her, of course, I'd only worked with her on stage, which is very different, but I knew I would be in safe hands. I knew I'd be able to communicate. Yeah. And I watched her do her magic, actually, because she does have a magic touch on whatever material she's involved with.
Well, before I get back to herself, just one or two other things, because, you know, some of the other work that you've done, I mean, the experience of working on The Crown, that first series, like so many, Colm Inch has written about that one, and it was fantastic, the whole thing. You played Winston Churchill's wife. It's the mammoth production. It really is big, isn't it?
It felt like being in a mega movie.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And Stephen Daldry is very much a movie director, you know, and he masterminded a lot of it and directed the first episodes. And you felt you were in the hands of, you know, a David Lean kind of dimension.
Yeah.
You know, it was very thrilling. And some of the scenes, which were so big, you know, like epic coronations and weddings and things in some of our oldest cathedrals, and the locations were pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, indeed. Well, the one I want to talk about, though, really, is, like, I think possibly the best TV series of the past, of this century, certainly of the last 10 years, no question. And I love your character in it. You're a total bitch. It's brilliant. You really are nasty. Succession. Yeah. I mean, like, when you take, like, there's 20 programmes in Succession, and around 9 and 10 is The Wedding in Scotland. You're in there like, oh, my God, every time you're on screen, you have something horrible to say in some ways, and say it so well, by the way. But the one I want to talk about is that you're, is the scene later on, and you have two sons and you have a daughter, and one of the sons is in the kitchen and he's in a bad way. I mean, he's done something that's really, like, uncool, and he needs his mum to listen, and you haven't listened to them too much lately, and you're not going to start now, are you?
That's right. I mean, I do get a bit defensive about it because yeah. You know, you watch all the rest of the family every episode for two seasons and you get to know them very well. You don't really know so much about my character because she crops up then. And, you know, I've got a backstory. I've got reasons why I am the way I am. And, you know, you've only to look at the man I was married to for X years to try and figure out, you know, that a lot of her behavior is defensive, you know. I'm not saying she's a saint or an angel at all. She's as horrible as you're saying, but there are lots of reasons why she is she doesn't open up. You know, her children were more or less taken into custody by Logan Roy. And, you know, she's built her life without them, and therefore she is on the defensive footing always.
Yeah, I mean, it's really funny you should say that, because, like, I mean, as you say, like, you know, you're not in it necessarily often enough to know your backstory, and then I'm going to say you're in it often enough to know your backstory. I can see exactly what it is. You were married to Logan Roy, for starters, and it's the way your life has been, just little one or two little lines in that, and it's almost a defensive mechanism that you have to be the way you are. But it's still pretty cruel when you leave that kitchen and you leave him sitting there without saying what his problem was.
Absolutely, but I don't know that he's killed somebody or whatever. You know, I just think he's going to give me a whole lot of angst about how I mothered him badly when he was a baby, you
True.
Know. And so that's another reason why, you know, if he was saying, listen, I'm really in bad trouble with the police and I'm going to slit my wrists, I don't know what she'd have done, but she wouldn't just say, oh, let's talk about it tomorrow. So I think she doesn't realise the gravity of what's going on, for a start.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Absolutely.
I also think she doesn't have, you know, her demeanor, what you're reacting to is her manner and her demeanor, which is evasive and superficial. And, you know, what I enjoy is that when she does say nasty things and when she is being bitchy, it's funny. Who wants to play? And she rather enjoys it as well. Who wants to play somebody who is just plain horrible?
She enjoys it as well. I mean, at the wedding, she really enjoys it. And she gets off more barbs than anybody else could in a day. Brilliant.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's fun to play. But deep down, I think she's a mess. You know, I think she had terrible parenting and she doesn't have a clue how to be a mother.
Yeah, maybe so. But I think she's dealing better with the mess than you might imagine. I think she's fine with it. This defensive mechanism, as I call it, is just, hey, you know, that's fine. It's working for her. Listen, your uncle is the renowned late actor Sir Christopher Lee. He played many roles, like Count Dracula, several horror, the Hammer movies, Scaramanga, the James Bond film, The Man with the Golden Gun. He was Count Dooku, wasn't he, in Star Wars prequel? Lord Somewhere Out in the Wicker Man. Was he a big part of your life growing up?
Yes. Well, he was a big part when we were kids, and then he went away to Hollywood in my early career, that time when I was beginning. And he came back when I was in my 30s because my grandmother was dying, and he came back and settled in London. And I sort of pretty much knew him ever since then. And it was a great relationship because, you know, from being this kind of guy on a pedestal when I was a kid, he became someone who I thought, oh, you're in the same profession as me. And, you know, I know Ian McKellen and Michael Gambon as well, you know.
Yeah.
it was really a nice relationship.
And he died in 2015. And 2015 was when The Force Awakens was released. So both of you have had roles in Star Wars, Count Dooku, and then you're Dr. Colonia in Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Did you get a chance to talk with him about that whole series?
I think I did, yes. I think, you know, I said, there we are both in the same show, but what a pity we were never in something together. I really regret that we were never in something together.
Well, and by the way, just also relations. I mean, like, is it true that your great-great-great-great-something-or-other grandfather founded the Times newspaper?
Yes, that's right. Not so proud of that paper now, as it's a Rupert Murdoch paper, talking of succession, which is loosely based on that kind of a family. No, my family started it in the late 1700s. And it went father to son down to my grandfather, and then they kind of lost it to Lord Northcliffe sort of between the wars. And it prided itself on its independence. It started all sorts of practices, like having a foreign correspondent in the field. The Battle of Waterloo, for the first time there was actually someone on the spot reporting back. That was a new device. And they always prided themselves on having an independence from any party that was trying to make them write what they wanted.
Yes, indeed. And look how all that changed. Okay, so do you still, by the way, how cool is this? Do you have Rudolf Nureyev's ballet shoes?
Yeah, do you think I'll ever get rid of them? No, if the house is on fire, I'd jump out with them.
Where'd you get them?
Well, I was such a big devotee, still am. I adored him. And I actually got to meet him, which was just wonderful, although I drooled and dribbled and didn't say anything sensible. And then when he died, I was really, really, really sideswiped. And there was an auction of his, he collected so much stuff over the years. There was a big auction about a year after he died. And I wasn't able to go, but I said to my mother, look, will you get something from there? And you know, don't go over £300, because that was what I could afford. And she said, well, I got you the cheapest thing on the list. And that was his shoes, his ballet shoes. And they were £600.
But
it was the cheapest. It was the cheapest thing there. And the reason they were cheap, I think, is because he either never wore them or only wore them once, because they're squeaky clean. And I think if they'd been gnarled and beaten up, they'd have gone for millions, you know.
Yeah, but they're still Rudolph shoes. That's pretty cool. Just one thing about that. I mean, you've said there that, you know, that you were a fan, but you also once said that you were influenced hugely by him. In what way influenced?
Well, I mean, I didn't have actor idols, and not so much. And I didn't go to the theatre as a child, but I was taken to the ballet because my grandmother adored it. And she took me along to see him and Margot Fonteyn. And he has a musicality and a dramatic talent that is, you know, what makes him special over and above technically getting his feet in the right place and leaping feet in the air, is his understanding of the music. And music was my first love. And so when he sort of interprets the music throughout his body and puts his heart and soul into it and acts it out, that is really what I want to do when I'm acting. I want to kind of embody the score, if you like, of what somebody's written and take people on a journey. And he just did that for me. And I just realized that what lifts him above ordinary great dancers is his acting talent, that he absolutely immersed himself in the emotions of what he was doing.
Okay, by the way, we are talking to Dame Harriet Walter, and just a couple of questions to get back to the movie in question, which, by the way, is going to be released in Irish and UK cinemas from Friday the 10th of September. It's called Herself. And just, first of all, the movie was shot in Ireland and around Dublin. How was that experience filming here? Did you like it?
Of course I did. And I've filmed in Ireland quite a lot in my life, actually. And, you know, it apart from the fact that it was freezing cold in March and quite wet and muddy, other than that, it was glorious, you know, to be on a project that everybody was very, very behind. You know, everybody knew that it was a good project. And
well,
that always
it is
a good atmosphere.
It is Claire's project, and she's fighting against the system in a big way in this. So to get back to the very beginning there, do you think the system like that, a woman just trying to make it on her own, is rigged against women in general?
Yes, it is, because as the scene in the law courts there's a lot of almost unconscious bias about the law, and the law influences how we've all perceived ourselves. You know, it's so deeply ingrained in our society that you know, it's a you said, she said, he said kind of environment, and people will tend to believe the guy. I think that is changing. I really do, because we're living in the post Me Too era, and I think people know that they'll be in trouble if they don't listen to both sides.
Right, indeed. But
there's also an idea that a bad mother is worse than a bad father, and they perceive her to be, they cynically in the court, kind of, you know, like all divorce situations and custody situations, the lawyers are paid to be as oppositional as possible. And they cynically, you know, the kid cuts her arm in the garden, and they cynically kind of make out like the mother is not looking after her properly, you know, when any kid cuts themselves in a garden, you know. It's like that if it had happened under, perhaps with a man looking after it, that wouldn't have kind of had that same reverberation.
No, indeed. Okay, well, anyway, as I say, Herself, it's great. Finally, Harriet, one last question I have to ask, because the last time I spoke to you, you were on the golf course. What's your handicap?
Very heavy. I have a lot of handicaps. I really enjoyed my golf sessions. And I promise I won't hit anyone over the head with a club when I'm
That's
next to
good
them.
enough by me. Dame Harriet Walter, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking with us on the programme today.
It's been great. Thank you.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.